just a bloke in a bar.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Packer Up Boys. Before we get into it, there is literally right now 4 3XLs left. 4 3XL bloke jerseys.
3XL right here.
4 3XL bloke jerseys left and about 70 XL jerseys left. So if you want a bloke jersey, I get it throughout the whole year. Kempy, can you redrop the bloke jersey? And I understand, you know, sometimes you got money, sometimes you don't. So if you can't afford it right now, that's totally understandable. That's all good. But if you are keen on one, make sure to get go to bloke.shop and grab one because they are nearly all gone. We've sold out of every single other size except for XL and 3XL. And 3XL might be gone before this podcast even finishes. So head to the website. Make sure to grab them, grab some. We've also got bloke slides. I'll go grab them. Have a look at these bad boys. Bloke slides made from scratch.
The clouds.
Oh, yeah. Walking on clouds. So make sure to head over and, grab a jersey if you'd like to because we are not doing that design ever again. The great Shandor, the door. How you going, brother?
Very good, mate. Good. I'm very proud to be wearing one of the exclusives. And if you're big and tall, you better claim one of those 3XLs.
Ooh, they look nice. Yes. They look good.
They fit good. They fit good. Like I said, if you're not rocking one of these.
Magic round, you've got to be rocking. You've got to be rocking one magic round, surely. How's the week been, bros?
Very good, my man. Out west, doing my thing. But yeah, it's been a good week. A little bit of rain, so.
Okay. Any more people coming in from the potty to the gym?
Yeah, I did it. I got another one, actually.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
The lad. Now, I've had a bit of it. Typically, group training is a little bit more female dominant, yep, which is a great thing for the lads. Yep. The female to male ratio is great.
Yeah.
So if you haven't worked out that hack for group training, you're missing out.
Yep.
But it's nice to see a few of the lads coming in.
Hey, it's a great way to meet beautiful young women.
It is.
They fit. They take care of themselves. They're probably bubbly in personality.
Yeah. Don't worry about Tinder, Run Club, Airlocker Training.
Get down. Obviously, don't be a creep. Be respectful. You were utter grubs. Matty, how you been, bro? You alive or what?
Yeah, back in business. Just put my feet up, watched a bit of, what's that series called? Baby Reindeer. Started watching that.
How scat is that?
Holy, I'm not done yet. I'm halfway through, but holy shit. I can't stop watching.
Mate, it is wild. And you know the actor in it is the guy that happened.
I heard that. It's crazy.
Allegedly. I just think, I'm not saying it didn't happen to him, but the only thing I'm like, he already wanted to be famous. Mm. What are the chances of something this crazy happening to him? Like, surely he's GST'd a little bit of it.
But since when is the person that happened to the actor? When's that ever happened?
That's what I mean. So don't get me wrong, I definitely think it happened, but I'd love to hear everyone else's side of the story, you know? Because you're fully seeing it through his perspective. He wrote everything, he's acting everything. I'd love to hear everyone around him's perspective.
There's one particular bit, and I won't like spoil anything or say anything, that I was a little bit skeptical of. There's a few things I'm skeptical of, but I'll be as vague as possible. There was one stage where his mate sent a text to the lady and then claimed it was...
Yes.
And I'm just like, fuck off. Surely you sent that.
Even the cops didn't believe him. So it's kind of baked into the thing. As I said...
Oh, I'm not up to that yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's actually at the start of that. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, right.
Look.
You've ruined it.
Yeah. Totally spoiled. No, it's all good. Look, I don't know what did or didn't happen. You obviously have to take him at his word. Like,
for sure.
I'm sure it absolutely happened to a degree. I'd just love to know, like... It's like anything. When something happens to you and... What about when, okay, something happens to you and you tell the story to your friend and then you rewatch the video of something from ages ago and you're like, holy shit, like I didn't remember it like that.
Yeah.
And so memory can be very, very weird. As I said, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I'd love to hear. The full picture. And apparently I think the lady that it's about is going to go on Piers Morgan.
Yeah, I did say that, yeah.
Now the tough thing.
That'll get juicy.
Yeah, that'll get juicy. Like what's doing?
I'm excited to, obviously I'm enjoying the series, but I'm excited to just finish it so I can watch all this fallout. Like I want to watch the Piers Morgan interview. I want to delve deep.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, there's two sides to every story. There's three sides to every story. Yeah. His side, their side, and the truth. But great show. And look, obviously the bad things that happened in that, you know,
shocking,
terrible stuff. So, it's so well done because it's so engaging, even though it's like brutal, can't get much worse. Mm. So it obviously teaches you lessons of how people deal with trauma or is not necessarily how they deal with it, but how they react to it and how that might... You know, you might meet certain people in your life and they do certain things. You don't know what's happened to them. You don't know what they've been through. You know, so you're just sitting there going, oh, you've done this mean thing to me. But in reality, they've had way meaner things done to them, and all they're doing is just offloading their past onto you, which
great
is
lesson.
Understandable.
You never know what people have been through.
Literally.
You can't judge a book.
100%, 100%. So, yeah, great show, great show. Now, don't forget, Magic Round, guys. Myself, Tom and Eddie, we've got a live show at the Caxton Brewing Co. on Caxton Street at 7 p.m. on Friday that you can come and watch. It's completely free. It's not sold out or anything like that. It's a live show with myself, Tom and Eddie. Obviously, we've got the Manly Broncos game that we'll be doing a live show for. That's at Caxton Brewing Co. on Caxton Street. And then the next day, we've got a meet and greet on Caxton at the Caxton Hotel on Saturday between 1 and 2. It's myself, Maddie, Timmy, Hammy, Guru. We'll be there saying hi, having a beer, having a yarn. Plus, we're giving away a bunch of bloke merch, some unique bloke things we're getting made just specifically for the day. So get down to get some free. We're going to give some free hats away, not the green and gold ones. We've got some other hats, free shirts away, maybe even some other stuff that you will be really, really keen on. So that's between 1 and 2. And guys, this is our yearly meetup. Like, we don't do any, usually don't do many other meetups throughout the year. So please come down, shake a hand. We want to say thank you for supporting the platform. That's the meet and greet at the Caxton Hotel in the car park between 1 and 2. And then you want to be in that area anyway, because Matty John's going to be across the road. Then he comes to the Caxton Hotel later. Fletch and Heine will be there. Tom and Eddie might even come down to the meet and greet as well. So it's a huge, huge weekend, and it's our way to say thank you. Plus, we all get to wear our bloke jerseys and just get around it. Get around it. Magic Round, the best. Huge game last night. Funnily enough, it was like fifth versus sixth, I think. Yeah. Or fourth versus fifth or something. So it was actually, you know, I know on paper you look at them Dolphins, Manly, you're probably not sitting there going like massive game, but it's fourth versus fifth. Like, it's not. This is a serious game in the top eight. But before we get into it, give us a follow on Sportsbet feed, guys. Got a brand new Bloke in a Bar multi currently. So it is, I think it's for Fafita. You go to my feed, give us a follow because you'll see what the multi is. But it's for Fafita, Nanai, Brimo, and one more. You know what? I'll just have to get it up here.
Was it Val? Or did you say Val already?
Sorry?
Did you say Val already?
Yeah, Holmes. So Fafita, Nanai, Holmes, and Brimo to combine for five or more tries in that derby. So, like, all they've got to do is combine for five or more tries. So, basically, if someone gets a double and then three other boys score, you're getting $12 for that. That's the Bloke in a Bar multi. It's a Queensland derby. We're going the Queensland derby. It's the Bloke in a Bar multi. So, go to your Sportsbet app, go to more, go to feed, type in Denon, give us a follow, and you can copy the bet straight away, the Bloke in a Bar bet for the week.
I tell you, I really sat back last night and decided to analyze this bet and to see if I really liked it. And the reason I think is my favorite one so far is because, A, this game is definitely going to be over 50 points combined. Like, this is going to be a high-scoring game. B, all four of these guys are prolific try scorers, but mainly, you don't have to, like, if one of them doesn't score, your bet's not screwed. Like, you could get someone scoring a hat-trick. So you don't have to ever rely on everyone scoring, which is why I really like it.
Fafita just signed with the Roosters. So you know he's coming out ripping and tearing.
100%.
Brimo been on an absolute tear. Mm. Did he score two tries last week or the week before?
He scored two, but one was disallowed, so he scored one.
So he's on a tear. Nanai, Origin's around the corner. And Holmes, Origin around the corner, looking to cement their spots. Because both those players, you'd have to assume, like, I know Holmes would be a semi-lock, but he hasn't been playing that well this year. And you know Billy Slater is not afraid to drop someone. So that's the Bloke in a Bar multi. Also, actually, it's already done, but from now on, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to do basically my face of music tips. You'll be able to get around me and back that each week as well on the Bloke in a Bar multi on top of the other multi, which is this one each week. So give us a follow on feed, but let's get into it, shall we? Dolphins defeat Manly. Manly, 16-4 up again. Again, they lose by a try in the end, 30-24, I'm pretty sure.
30-24.
So I had my notes. I wrote this down. This is at the start of the game. So this is in the second set of the game. This was written down before the result was known, literally the second set of the game. And this is of the understanding of, like, with how up and down Manly have been, surely they've definitely not a crisis meeting, but surely they've gotten together and gone, guys, we just need to grind out a win. Like, we've been so up and down, let's just grind out a win. Second set, this is what I wrote. Manly, second set, in the wet, they spread it on the third, coming out of their own end. It's a disaster. Not only does it not work, They lose 20 metres and they give the ball away. This mentality is why they aren't currently contenders and they won't win this match.
Yeah, wow.
And what happened? What happened? Like, that is Manly's problem right now, is they are not taking it seriously enough because they're currently six on the ladder. They're not taking it seriously enough that they need to sort out their defence. Like, they're coming in and out of games, you know, starting games fast and then losing leads. Like, it's not just a little problem. It's a big problem because, you know, they start the year fast like we predicted they would. Seibold, I personally believe he has a tendency to start fast and then fall off a little bit. This is just going to get worse and worse for Manly unless they sort that out, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, as you said, especially if they want to be a top contender, there's just too much swings. They're action-packed, Manly, and they play some good footy, but as you said, the momentum shifts and the roller coaster that is the 80 minutes of when they play, there's no way it's going to be consistent versus the top teams.
And
no
like,
way.
Especially as teams get better. Like, it is a... When you go into a season, everyone knows defence wins premierships. Like, it is not a secret. It's essentially a fact. Like, I think you have to go back to, what was it, 2015 or something, where the best defensive team didn't win or something along those lines. Like, you have to go back quite far. And so, like, it's not like they're...
Like, not best, but it was like top three or something.
Top three. Yeah. Like, you've got to be a top tier defensive 100%. Side. So the fact that they're not even close to a top tier defensive side right now, like, that is a big, big problem. And it's not easy to sort.
That has to be consistency, completion rate, and the ability to get into an arm wrestle.
Yeah, and they just don't seem to... Like, the three tries they scored, so that all came off. There was a huge play by Herbie Farnworth. So they grubber through. Herbie Farnworth chases the Dolphins. So they're under the pump, under the pressure. Manly's got all the momentum. The Dolphins finally get down to Manly's end. About 10 minutes to go in the half. Actually, you know what? I will have it right here. Just before halftime. And so they put a grubber through. So Farnworth's not going to get there. It's actually too deep.
Yeah.
He dives over the dead ball line, knocks it back in. They don't score a try, but he's knocked back in, forces a dropout.
Yeah, hits Cherry on the leg.
Dolphins go bang, bang, bang. Three tries. And that's what won in the match, is that one big play from Herbie Farnworth where it wasn't even to score a try. It was just to keep the ball in play. That's desperation. Like, that's desperation. And that's what, you know, the Dolphins play on.
Yeah, they do.
They play on desperation. Like, they keep you honest. They're never gonna like, obviously there's gonna be games where they just turn up and they get beaten quite substantially, but most games they are gonna make it tough for at least 60 to 70 minutes. And on the weekend, on last night, I felt like the Dolphins just wanted it more. Like, they were just more determined, more gritty.
And I feel like that's what they built their game around. Like you said, their best and worst moments are kind of here and they just chip away. They're a little bit elusive. You look at the team and like that fourth and fifth comment got me. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, the Dolphins just keep sneaking through, but they chip away. And they've got enough players to make big moments happen in the game. But
with Herbie Farnworth, with that big moment. He makes that moment.
To put three tries on Manly after something as crucial as that, fuck, it's wild.
Here's another big moment. So, Trey Fuller. How good was he?
Little Preston Campbell.
So the biggest, like the most impressive thing about Trey Fuller, it's not his footwork, it's not his tackle breaking ability. We've seen similar-ish players that are as explosive as him. Don't get me wrong, he's extremely all of those things. But what I find the most exciting about Trey Fuller is his bravery. Even his try that he scored, where the chip and chase. We will focus on the skill that it took for the chip and chase. What we should be focusing is a guy that probably weighs maybe 80 kilos, ran straight and hard in between DCE and a front rower in Sipley, and both of them refused to put their body in front of him. He put his body in. He won that battle against a front rower and DCE. That's pure bravery. That's what scored the try.
Yeah, I love it.
The chip and chase is just icing on top. Then you go even further than that. Later in the game, it's in the balance. Bully Moore gets a line break. Fuller puts his body on the line and just grass cuts him. Just enough where Bullard gets pulled up just before the try line. Again, bravery. The amount of times he got head high because he's so small, gets straight back up, plays the ball. Trey Fuller's bravery is what is a part of the reason why they won that match. We go back to the Herbie Farnworth situation. That's all effort. That's not skill, that's effort. And
right, at one point he joined the line, he half put a shot on Alawai.
Mate, it's seriously, it's so, like, that's what you watch rugby league for. You know, that's what, watching a little fella go up against man mountains, like superstar, big athletes.
Yeah, playing that well are above his weight.
Way above his weight. And then topping it off with the silky stuff, the chips and chase, the footwork. Mate, I thought Trey Fuller last night was absolutely phenomenal.
Gun.
And he played so well that there's a question of, okay, obviously Hammer is the number one fullback at the club. But there's a question of, how do you take that jersey off him? Do you put Hammer at centre?
And you can. That's the thing.
You know you can. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that this is the best thing that could happen for the club. Because I tell you what, if Hammer doesn't go back and play fullback and have 20 runs a game, Wayne's going to be like, mate, we've got a fullback that's going to give us 20 runs a game. We need work rate out of it. Because if there's one thing that Fuller probably does have over Hammer, it's work rate.
Well, we're also going back to the hamstring conversation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, more like, yeah.
Again, another guy who's suffering a few soft tissue injuries.
So, do you want to ease him into it? Do you put him at centre?
Is a guy like that built to do big numbers, long distances, handle fatigue?
True. So, yeah, Trey Fuller for me was absolutely incredible, and that tackle on Bullimore, as I said, we'll get lost in the magic, which is, you know, take nothing away. The magic is incredible, as you said, very much Preston Campbell's kind of vibe. But what is so impressive for me is the bravery side of things. The fact that he can pin his ears. You know how brave that run is? It's that run between the marker and the A defender. If you're being honest, you should take that run nearly every time, but you don't because that's the run you get absolutely jammed on.
There's a choice that you make, and it's like that little moment where you go, do I do it? Or it's like, nah, fuck.
Just two bodies squeeze in that spot together, whereas you can go over as the angle's not as good on you. But he says, nah, I'm just going to run as hard as I can, and I dare you to stop me. And unfortunately, DCN Sipley just, that was just a hands tackle. Just a hands tackle, and that's what won it.
He's got to be in the 17, surely. Like, even if Hammer comes back and Wayne wants to put him at fullback, like, I know they didn't play with the utility last night, I don't think, the Dolphins, but I know they got a few options, but surely he's got to be in there somewhere.
I think Max Plath may be the key to allowing Fuller to be 14. Because you'd have to assume Plath at 13 can play hooker if he needs to.
Yeah.
To give Jerry Marshall King a break if he needs to. Because if they didn't have such a versatile 13, then it's just hard. You've got to have someone there ready just in case the hooker needs a break, surely.
Yeah, 100%. It's just, it's such a hard
choice with, you know, an Avarillo.
Yeah, I'd be going.
And a far, you know.
I'd be going Avarillo, unfortunately, would miss out. Avarillo, unfortunately, would miss out. Yeah,
I agree.
Actually, just look at the.
I'm just having a crack with that. Trey Fuller. Bring Hammer back into the centre. I just reckon you got to at least have a crack. And
I agree. He's playing too well at fullback. Yeah. Like, I know Hammer's amazing, but we've seen what he can do at centre in Origin and for Australia. Ain't, you know what? If it doesn't work in a few weeks, then
if
just
Hammer
change it back.
Hammer was an out-and-out fullback. You just don't really have this conversation. Yeah. You just say, amazing game. Great that they've got depth and he'll get his moment. But I think the fact that he can transition, you just give it a crack.
He's just been so good. So I don't know what you do. Look, like, understand, if they put Hammer back there and they say to Fuller, look, mate, it's just one of those things. Like, you've got one of the most exciting, electric young players in that position. But I tell you what, if he doesn't play well, then maybe you do move into the centre and you bring Trey Fuller in. But if I'm another club...
Oh.
I mean, does Hammer factor it in as well, as you said, with Origin?
As in...
Like, because he's not playing fullback.
For Origin, so maybe he begins to prepare for Origin? Yeah, maybe.
It's not a bad mentality. Surely Wayne can sell that to him.
Yeah.
I don't mind the angle of, because he's got a soft tissue injury,
of
putting him at centre to ease him back into it. And listeners, you might go, what do you mean, ease him back into it? You know, if you put him at fullback, soft tissue injuries don't always, but a lot of the time come from fatigue. So like a lot of Ks in your legs. You might, you know, a fullback might run 7 to 8 Ks a game, whereas a centre you're looking at like 5. And so maybe they go, you know what, let's put him at centre where he's not hitting top speed, where he's going to get less Ks in his legs. Because on the flip side of things, you look at Tom Trbojevic, hamstring again, 6 to 8 weeks, I reckon. Absolutely so sad, devastating. Man. Like, the most frustrating thing for Tom Trbojevic would be, I've done everything right. You know, like, I've been a good bloke on and off the field. I've taken care of my body. I'm not a party animal. I probably am healthy as anything off the field. Everything has been right, but my body just will not allow me to be great.
Like, bro, you know countless hours he would have put into those strings. Like, you're at the point where you're going, he has to be thinking, like, what more can I
fucking do? What more can I do?
Honestly.
And look, I've been saying it for, I think it's been years now. Has it been years?
Since, because 2021 was when you did the corso or the shower, the hamstring at the start, and that's when it's kind of started.
I've been saying for years.
And his biggest injury was off the bone, wasn't it? Like, it's not it wasn't a hammy tear.
Oh, mate, I'm not sure. It's been six, I think. 5 to 6 hammy tears now. I just think you put him at centre.
You have to do something. There's no way. You're at the point where this is not about rehab.
And I got a lot of pushback with it, which I understand. Like, he's an incredible fullback. I've been saying it for ages.
But when he's on the field, he's an incredible fullback. Yeah, if he's not on the field, what's the point?
Well, you know, the best ability is availability. Mm. It really is.
So, fifth. So, 2019, 2020, 2021, which is the one I said, and then 2023, which I'm pretty sure was in the preseason.
Obviously, you rehab him back up, chuck him at centre so he's not hitting top speed. You know, he might every now and then, but not regularly. He's doing way less Ks. I just think at fullback, he's just getting through too much work. Like, he's not a fullback that has 12 runs. He's having 20 to 25 runs a game. Mm. I just think you try him at centre, you put Cooler back there, maybe Garrick, but maybe Cooler. You put him at centre and you just give him good ball in open space.
Yeah, get Cooler back there.
I just don't know. Like, it's a soft tissue injury. And I know people, and look, go to NRL Physio. He's way better at all this. Maybe it's mechanics. Like, maybe it's just purely mechanics, and no matter where you put him, that's going to be the issue. But let's say the reasons you do your hammy are mechanics, and then part of it is also fatigue. If you could remove one of them, surely you're removing one of them.
Because I can bet you they've tried the mechanics.
They've fucking
tried the mechanics.
So if you go, okay, fullback is literally the position on the field where you run the most and you're probably hitting top speed the most.
And the most high speed Ks.
So it's like, why put him in that position where if you were to make a recipe for a hammy tear, it would be a fullback. Mm. And then you add on to the fact that he's a big body. You know, there's a reason why these huge big bodies aren't usually as quick as your Trey Fullers. It's just physically usually different, as in, you know, get through as much work, because it's just...
I think there's something in that for sure. If you look at him, like, obviously he's not a traditional fullback, but you have to question whether that body, that frame, is actually meant to do what he's currently doing. And he fucking does it because he's a gun.
Yeah.
But I just, at what point, I'd love to be in the inner sanctum at Manly. Surely they're having that conversation. Oh. Surely it's been tossed up.
See, I remember, I think I was speaking about it quite a lot, and I think someone actually asked Seabold, obviously not from me, but asked about the centre position. I think Seabold said, we have not considered it.
Yeah, that's correct. That happened in the preseason.
And I remember going, haven't even considered it?
I wonder if you're just saying that.
Maybe just saying that.
Is there an example of, I'm trying to think of an example of something like this. Certainly not did Lockyer have anything to do with Bar just the choice that he wanted to do that?
I think he just wanted to do it, and also he was just slowing down a little bit. Mm. I just think he was slowing down a bit. And I think the difference with Tom Trbojevic, which with some other guys that may have had injuries, and not all of them, but sometimes you can look at a guy that gets injuries all the time and you can go, look, he's probably not training the hardest. He's probably not taking care of his body. Not all of them, but some guys.
Mm.
Whereas Tom Trbojevic, you know that he's doing all the
right
things.
You know what I will say? I spent some time with Tom in the preseason. Mm. He'd come into air locker and we were doing some training, and I noticed a notable shift. The Tom that I met 3 years ago, he was just an out-and-out footy player.
Yeah,
there wasn't a heap of time and attention into his body, into the rehab. I think his time in America, I feel like there was a shift that changed his perspective. He's genuinely trying to do everything he can. Far more professional, far more focused on his body, recovery, whatever he can do. Like, you just seen a maturity. So I can only imagine his mindset now, faced with this point, like the hammy's gone again. And I know the amount of work that he'd be doing, detailed work on the hamstrings. Fuck, it sucks.
And it's just like, it's just evidence like life isn't fair. And obviously there's way worse things going on in the world, guys. I'm not, you know, comparing it to that. But like for him specifically right now, like he's just like...
Yeah, relative to him, it's everything.
It's everything. It's his life. It's his passion. It's what he was made for, all that. And it's just, no matter what he does, he can't get away from it. It is just so unfair. So unfair. So hopefully, you know, what is he, 26 now? 27? Probably 26. So he's still quite young. Does put
Manly... 27.
27. Does put Manly in a bit of a tough spot, salary cap-wise. Just going to be some real hard conversations, unfortunately. Just sucks. You know, you almost wish it happened to a shit bloke.
Yeah.
So you could go, I don't give a shit.
He's such a legend.
But he's such a legend, it actually upsets me when I see it, because I know what he's going through in his head. Well, I don't know, but I can assume what he's going through in his head.
And we're talking about the sixth time, like, torture.
So, yeah, hopefully, you know, he can find a way back. In regards to the Dolphins, though, what about Katoa's play at the end there?
How good is he, eh?
Mate, so all silky in attack, like, okay, this is what's so brilliant, and hopefully you can find some footage of this, Maddie, and maybe do footage of the Trey Fuller situation and Herbie Farnworth, but also footage of this.
Yeah.
So early in the game, DCE, I think he lands an intercept, and then Brooks lands an intercept on Max Plath, Max Psycho Plath. And Katoa, at 20 years old, goes, noted. Brooks have just scored off a...
Is he 20? Fuck.
He's 20. Fuck. So Brooks just scores off an intercept against momentum, and so Katoa goes, okay, that's noted. Puts it back in the brain box. Just leaves it there. Game's on the line. Game is on the line. What does Katoa do? He goes to the line.
Oh, bruh.
Goes deep. Doesn't hit the man out the back because he knows that that man is getting jammed in on. Yep. Face passes him, straight past him to the next bloke, and it's basically a dive of the try line. That is brilliant. That's a 20-year-old.
Bro, you don't have to know footy to know that that was perfect execution. Like, it couldn't have been any better.
And just going, I know what you're thinking. Yeah. So
You've fished that bloke.
Yeah, out. You've already done that, and I know how your defensive system works, and I know that you're sitting there going, okay, you're already reading my play. You're thinking I'm going out the back, so you're going to jam on him. I'm two steps ahead of you. And we're not talking about veteran, like rookies here. We're talking about Brooks and DCE. Mm. We're talking about Katoa versus Brooks, being in the game for nearly 10 years now. And he's going, you know what? I'm going to play you against yourself because I know that you're going to look at that out the back play and think that you're going to do a big play on me to win the match. And he outfoxes him and nails the play.
And, bro, you've been on the end of those in training and in the game. It's lovely when it comes off. Like, you know that the player's going to jam, hit the centre with the cutout, usually, you know, and then it's centre or winger scores, but it's lovely when it comes off.
And then to top it all off, they do that. They score. The game's in the balance still. They're only up by four. Cooler takes a run off their own line, off Manly's own line. Guess who's a part of the three-man tackle that drags Cooler all the way back and then forces him to offload to DCE to knock on? It's Katoa. And guess who makes DCE knock on? Katoa. Like, that's a number seven, like, charging up in defence. So we're not talking about forwards that are barring up and fucking getting aggressive.
He's so confident for his age.
Yeah, we're talking about a number seven that's 20 years old with a game on the line that just had two plays that won the game for his team. Two plays that won the game for his team. And that was specifically from him.
Full bar.
Mate, full bar stuff. Full bar stuff. And, you know, he gets up yipping and yahooing and, geez, I mean, Dolphins have got a very special one there.
They must love playing with him, eh? That energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, great stuff there from Katoa. And he just goes from strength to strength. He really just goes from strength to strength. Dolphins, like, I tell you what, they're probably going to fight for the eight this year.
100%.
Because they still got blokes to come back.
Yeah.
They're doing this without Gilbert. Flegler's been out as well. Herbie only just returned. Hammer's been out. We're talking about key players.
I'll just run through their year so far. It's remarkable when you look through it. So the first game, they got pumped by the Cowboys, so bad loss. They bounced back, beat the Dragons 38-0. Bye. Then they smoked the Titans, beat the Tigers. They went down to the Broncos, but it was pretty close. Smacked Para up in Darwin. Lost to the Knights. That was a bad loss. Beat the Cowboys and now beat Manly. Like, they haven't... Such a good year.
So well done to the Dolphins. On to Manly, kind of already spoken about it, but yeah, like, I know they're sitting sixth right now, so it's like kind of, you're not sitting there going, it's the end of the world, because it's not. But I don't see, unless they begin to take it seriously that their defence needs to be sorted and that they need to just tweak their game a little bit, I just don't see it getting better.
I'm not going to lie. I noticed this when Seibold made the shift to the Broncos, and it's always blown my mind. I know I've spoken about this before. The reason it does is because he was the defensive coach at the Melbourne Storm.
Really?
Yes. This is what blows my mind. So, like, if you've been in the Storm, you know how detailed they are.
It's everything.
And you know their system is ironclad. But when he went to the Broncos, and it was like they'd never practice defense, or at least that Storm defense. Yeah. And that blew my mind. Now he's at Manly. He's clearly just doesn't have the attention to detail or the passion for defense. And it's telling. You can see it. And you've seen it wherever he's gone. It's been a factor.
Yeah,
but it still blows my mind that he started as the defensive coach in Melbourne Storm.
And the thing is like, as you know, detail is his game. Yes. He's all science, numbers, you know. If anything, the knock, in my opinion, is that I feel like at the Broncos, he didn't understand the culture of the club. It was very technical. Everything was like numbers and this, and rather than the intangible parts of the game. And yeah, Manly, it like, Like, I'm sure he's obviously he's telling his team, you know, to defend. Obviously, they have a system.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's becoming down. He's not coming down strong enough on them to force them to go. Like, as I said, that first, second set of the game, and you're spinning it on the third tackle. Look, in a normal week, there's nothing wrong with spinning it coming out of your own end. But after what happened last week, you would have thought they came out and just went, you know what? We want to complete at 90% and just get through our first 10 sets and then we'll look
at... Set yourself up for the game, 100%.
Let's just... Who cares about scoring points early? Yep. Let's just... But they didn't. Their mentality was like, we want to score points immediately. And I just think that mentality, you can still keep it, but earn it. Earn the right to
and
do that.
And with DCE and Brooks, you've got the ability, and a cracker forward pack, you've got the ability to grind a team down. Those boys are kicking. Like, they've got a great kicking game. They're always executing. So they have the ability, if they shift their mindset and have the focus of, hey, let's put them to the sword for the first 10 sets, 20 minutes, and then let's see what happens. Let's see if they can go with us.
Yeah. It's I will say, the bench on the last night for them, like, I thought Sipley and Lodge had some really, like, poor misses. It's like Sipley... He had obviously that miss with a Fuller, and then wasn't the second one that he missed wasn't really his fault, but he was still there. And then Lodge, I think he got done on the inside for one of the other tries. That front, those two's coming on.
Was that Lodge who got done on the drop under for the
yeah,
drive?
I think so.
Man, that's bad, bro.
I think Waddell
was the chaser.
Overchased, and then Lodge fully missed
him. Shut the gate. Yeah.
And so. Those they're big, big boys, Lodge and Sipley. And so, like, Sipley was in my team of the week a couple of weeks ago. So it's not like they've had bad years. Well, Lodge has only just come back. But Sipley's, he's actually had a pretty good year. But I just think that sometimes laterally.
But you're dreading that in the video session, bro. Trey Fuller. Taking on your inside shoulder.
100%. 100%. Yeah. But I just think because they're such big boppers, maybe they need to be split up and not put on at the same time, because you can't afford to have, you can afford to have one big bopper on there. That's, you know, because they're so good in attack and bending the line and getting meters. Because that's what their job is bending the line, getting meters, which they both do really well. But in defense, I do feel sometimes laterally, and it's almost not their fault because they are so big. It's almost like blaming a small winger for not bumping people when they run the ball. It's like big fellas, that's the negative of being a big fella, is you're not going to be quick in that 10 meter.
And having them in that 10 meter corridor, you're exposed.
Yeah, so I just wonder whether having them both on at the same time, it's a bit... too big in today's game. Maybe 10 years ago with those two big boppers, great.
Yeah.
Today's game, I wonder whether you bring one of them on with a smaller forward to just kind of clean up around them
a little bit. It makes sense.
Because, I just felt that they were a little bit slow laterally, which is understandable, but at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that it's still, you know, you want to have standards at a club and it's missing tackles and you shouldn't be missing tackles. Like, for example, the first one with Sipley, like, even though he's a big boy, like, there was no excusing that. Like, that was just a poor miss. And DC as well.
You got to get your shoulder. I think they just assumed. And he kind of just perfectly had his arms up, snuck through, boom.
Whereas the other one was simply, like, that was a really messy play. And so that's one where I can kind of, I can cut him a bit of slack because he's a big boy. He just can't move. Like, what do you want him to become, a sprinter? Like, he can't. Whereas that first one with him and DC, DC is equal to blame. Like, that was, if I'm a coach, that's the most disappointing one. You have, not only do you have an opportunity to tackle him, you have an opportunity to absolutely jam him, like jam him. And then the Lodge one, I know Waddell overchased, which is obviously that's a bad thing, but you know, Lodge, you've just got to close the gate, or at the very least, like, get close to closing the gate.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You know, it's easy for me to say as a winger on the couch doing absolutely fucking nothing, but you know, we got to analyze a game. And I thought that was some key moments. I actually thought Brooks was pretty good last night.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought Brooks was pretty bloody good last night. He was really dangerous. I'm not considering him yet like a danger player when he gets the ball yet, but geez, he's getting closer to that point of like every time he gets the ball, something's kind of happening around him. You know what I mean? I didn't really have him as that in my head before he arrived to Manly, but more games that I watch him, the more I'm like, geez, he's becoming like almost a very different player to Munster, but every time Munster gets the ball in his hand, you're like, you're on the edge of your seat. And for me, Brooks, like last night, like every time we got the ball, like something was nearly happening. I thought he played quite well last night.
Yeah. In my opinion, on the back end, like internally with the club, it feels like they've given him a license. They've given him a little bit of confidence, empowered him to say, hey, like, we believe in you. Every time he does touch the ball, it doesn't look like he's at the mercy of what's going on around him. Like, he's taking charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just love him and Cherry Evans together. Yeah. They're a great partnership, aren't they? They complement each other perfectly.
That's the part I look at and go, there's a lot to like here.
There's opportunity.
Like, this is, we have to remember, this is Brooks and DC in their like 7th or 8th game together.
Yeah.
Mm. What are they going to be like in their 30th game together? So there's a lot to like. Like, again, we've been quite negative with Manly because they've blown another lead. But there's still the skeleton of a premiership threat squad there. Like, I think there's a skeleton. Maybe you need to recruit one or two more, and maybe you need Tommy obviously on the field. But it's not doom and gloom like some of these other clubs.
No.
It's, you're not looking at
definitely
going...
definitely not in that category.
No, you're not looking at going, mate, we're about to just spiral out of control. Now, they could spiral, but they also could fix things up and finish 5th or 6th. Like, that could happen. It's going to be hard without Tommy, but I still think they're going to be a tough challenge for a lot of teams over the next 6 weeks. Like, I still think Cooler at the back there.
Oh.
What an opportunity for Cooler, though.
Big time.
And he's a gun.
And he does not get enough ball. He does not get enough ball.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that.
So that's the silver lining. So, look, yes, definitely disappointing last night for Manly and obviously the week before. It's not necessarily about the loss. It's just the way that they've... Like, last week they lost a, 18-point lead, 20-point lead. This week, 16-4. Mm. It's that. And then you go back other weeks. But you can see the problem. It's defence. If you can fix that, then they're a real top 8 contender side. All right. Don't forget, guys, Elliot Whitehead is this week's menu log. Hungriest player of the week. Use code Whitehead, all one word, for free delivery. So if you want to have some food delivered to your house, make sure to download the menu log app, because every week you'll get discounts. Every week a bloke, you get discounts. So why would you not download the menu log app and use menu log and use the code? Also, the LDV T60 has 160 kilowatts of grunt, which makes it one of the most powerful utes in this class. Auto from 38990 drive away for ABN holders. 7 years / 200,000-kilometre warranty, whichever occurs first. At that price, why go secondhand when you can have a brand new LDV? Also, don't forget, guys, live show at Caxton Brewing Co., 7 p.m., free, not sold out. You can all come down, come say hi. Myself, Tom, Eddie, live show watching Manly versus the Brisbane Broncos. Don't forget to give me a follow on Sportsbet feed as well. And as I said, the jerseys are nearly all gone on bloke.shop. Make sure to get there and grab one if you want one. Fafita chooses the Roosters. Politis has confirmed in an interview that the Roosters have secured Fafita for next season. Reporter contract, 4 years, 3.3 milli.
Was this on our list?
Bruh.
Was it on our list? I don't think this was on our list. I don't think we factored in the Roosters, did we?
Very silly not to, to be honest.
Mate.
Old Uncle Nick.
They are unbelievable.
That's it. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but I know how they get it done, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Mathematically, yeah. I don't know how they do it, but I understand the lure and the appeal.
Mate, when you're walking into a room with that board that they have, and that board's going... Oh. Welcome to the family. And they look like they've got a cup of tea, Sicily or something like that. They've got a picture of fucking the Godfather behind them. And they're going, look, if you're a part of the family, you're always part of the family, if you know what I'm saying. Very hard to say no. Very hard to say no. Like, this is how good they are at getting their man. Penrith Panthers. Nathan Cleary most likely will go down as the greatest 7 of all time, if not top 3. So... he's already in the top 10. Like, he's already in the top 10. So one of the greatest 7s all time. You know, obviously Joey, he's up there by himself at the moment. I think we all agree with that. But Cleary at 26 has a pretty bloody good resume. Mm. With the Penrith Panthers, who have the best juniors in the NRL, one of the strongest clubs we've seen in a very long time, 3 premierships in a row, even them offering him a massive wicket couldn't get him across over the Roosters.
Just not sexy enough, is it? The Roosters are just... come down to Bondi, Uncle Nick, nice. Fly on the wall in that meeting. It's just too good.
Far out. Oh, it's crazy how good they are at getting their man. Like, when they want what they want, they get it.
When that article came out the other week saying that the Roosters have a $4 million chest, I thought it was crazy too, but it scared me because I'm like, well, most people aren't going to turn down the Roosters.
Mate, even when that came out, true. I was like, there's no way he's not taking Penrith. Because you're almost... really? 100%. I was like, you're guaranteeing yourself a premiership. Plus, apparently, I think it was on his offer was bigger than the Roosters' offer. No. Shorter time, but bigger money. Incredible stuff from the Roosters. I mean, whoever their recruitment officer is and everyone involved, like...
Nick Politis.
Incredible stuff.
It's just Nick.
They are just such a well-run club. It is absolutely incredible.
Such a big get.
And what's crazy is, like, they didn't even need a back rower.
They don't need a back
rower. They need outside backs.
And the crazy thing is, their next big signing is going to be Sam Walker for long term, you'd imagine. So they are just set for the future. Holy shit, they're
landing
set.
Landing Fifita as 25 years old is just like, and also getting in for about 800K in this salary cap, which is actually about 500K of the last salary cap. Like, seriously incredible.
What are you thinking? How well do you think this story pans out for Fifita and the Roosters? Is it just...
Ooh.
Is it the turning point and he just goes to that next level? Because we can't say he's gone to that next level, although he's had success and he's had representative jerseys.
I think he's been playing pretty good at the Titans, but because it's Titans, you don't...
Yeah.
Look, it's actually not necessarily for Fifita I'm worried about. It's more the Roosters have been so hit and miss for 5 years now. I'm still not... Even though I think that they've really gotten things back on track over the last couple of weeks, I'm still not convinced. Like, if you said to me, how convinced are you that Penrith will win a premiership in the next 3 years? I would say I'll be shocked if they don't.
Yeah, I agree.
How convinced are you that the Roosters will win a comp in the next 3 years? Maybe.
Maybe.
And so I'm actually not sure whether the Roosters will be playing good enough footy to get the most out of David Fifita. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. But see, on that point, I would have liked to seen him go to the Panthers and play a role.
Yeah.
You know, he would have gone into a system and then used all of his ridiculous talent, strength.
Right.
So I think I'm still at the point where you go to the Roosters and you're going to be playing on talent and your ability. Whereas it would have been, as you said, Panthers clear. It would have been nice to see him just tuck into a system, have a genuine role, and then just be explosive as fuck.
I agree with that 100%. I was praying he'd go to Penrith because I just... He could definitely still be the best back row in the comp of the Roosters. No doubt in the world.
Of course, 100%.
But holy shit, imagine him at the Panthers next to Nathan Cleary. It would just be ridiculous. Far out.
So, but I tell you what, the Roosters, like, once again, they get their man. Like, in regards to, like, when you worry, when you start to go, oh, the Roosters, like, do they have as much pulling power?
Who have they not gotten before?
You know, like, but it's like they...
Dane Gagai.
Sorry?
Who have they not got? Dane Gagai.
Yeah, he's the only one. But like, it was just getting to the point where they got Brandon Smith. They got, who else did they sign with Brandon Smith?
Spencer Lenu.
And it hasn't, like, Brandon Smith Cheese has been good this year, but it hasn't been as explosive as like Kronk when they did that. Then obviously 2013 when they went Sonny Bill, Maloney, I think.
I mean, that's the greatest example right there, bros, for the Roosters. To take Kronk out of the Storm, you know, you're just...
And so there was always this, like, I felt like there was a bit of growing, like, do they have the same market push as they did maybe 5 years after their back-to-back? Yeah, they do.
They
got Terrell May relatively young, White relatively young, Collins still got a few years left in him for sure. Fifita got at least 5 to 6 years left in him. Sam Walker, you know what I mean? Like, they are set. And also, Joey Manu's going to be back halfway through next year.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, this is what's happened here. They've gone, mate, actually, you know what? I don't know what's happened. Pure speculation. This is what I think has happened. They've gone, look, you've been taking unders for so long now. So why don't you go and get some extra cash over at Japan Rugby, play 11, 12 games, then come back halfway through the year. Guess who just retired? That's probably on 600 grand next year. Luke Keary, so we're going to have money in the cap. Here's your 600 grand for half the year.
Unreal.
That'll be all time.
Again, pure conspiracy theory, but like, they re-sign Keary, and a few weeks later he retires. That all lands perfectly. Marnie's going away. Now there's already yarns about Marnie returning. I would be shocked if he's not back in the NRL by midway next year.
Absolutely.
And I'd be shocked if I think that he'll be their fullback once Teddy retires or leaves.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you go back, have Rooster still got the pool, the key factor is the mathematics hasn't changed. They've still got it.
That's good. Okay, Kambosos versus Lomachenko. Watch on KO. You can get it on KO, guys, so make sure to tune in. What a fight.
I was going to go to this. I'm filthy, I can't go.
Mate, you know what? When it's 5 months away, you're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. And then it gets close and you're like, shit, I should have done it. I tell you what, Kambosos deserves a massive, like, think about the fights he's brought to this country.
Crazy.
Haney, and now Lomachenko. He's brought to Australia. Hasn't ducked anyone, always taken the hardest fights. But when you talk about, he's literally going to have to decipher the Matrix.
Yep.
Like, we're talking Lomachenko.
And that's the appeal. Like, I just wanted to see Lomachenko live. Like, he's such a freak. I mean, there's arguments that in his last fight, he lost that, like, bit of grit. Mm. But
he is a little bit older now.
Yeah, but the way he boxes is just poetry.
Like, honestly, yeah, it's poetry. It's a perfect word. It's like watching, like, a beautiful dance. Like, his footwork, if you get a second.
And he was. His dad put him
in. Yeah, he was in the Ukrainian, like a ballet or something. Yeah, some dance or something like that to help with his boxing. Mm. Just watch his footwork and
it's ridiculous.
Then go outside and try and move like that. Because yeah. They make it look easy.
Yeah, of course.
They make it look easy. Watch how he moves and how quickly he moves. Go outside for 30 seconds and try and punch and move like that. You'll feel like you've got two left feet. Like, you'll feel uncoordinated. You'll feel like a big ship just.
And then get someone to punch you while you're trying to do that. And yeah, see what happens.
Then you've also got to be, not only are you trying to move and throw your punches, you're trying to move your head too. Like, and also judge distance. And also not burn yourself out cardio-wise.
And honestly, his career could have been so different. He's had a couple of, like, unfortunate, probably unlucky losses that he didn't deserve, which would have taken him into a whole nother level.
Yeah, if he beats Haney, I think it, you know, almost cements him as one of the GOATs, really, because he would have cleaned out the division. Like, I mean, he'd already had cleaned out the division. And a lot of people felt he beat Haney. Kambosos feels Haney just outpointed him. Now, Kambosos, what an opportunity to...
The underdog.
I feel like with Haney and Kambosos, like, Haney was the perfect bad match for Kambosos.
Yep.
Haney shouldn't have even been in that weight division. Like, you know, there's an argument to be said he's a bit of a weight bully.
Yeah, 100%.
You're like, he is massive for that weight division. And so with Kambosos, like, you've got a massive bloke, also with a huge reach advantage, also with a rehydration that he's probably putting on, like, what do you reckon, 8 kilos?
Yep, definitely.
Put on 8 kilos. So he's going in the ring. I reckon in the ring over Kambosos, he's probably at least 5 to 6 kilos heavier, which is heaps. Mm. Like, heaps in boxing.
And because of that, Haney was just able to dictate the whole fight.
Just keep him at range, keep him at range. Also, if Kambosos tried to dirty box, Haney is strong in the clinch for his size.
You can see that.
Now, people are going to sit there and go, well, he got toweled up by Garcia. First of all, Garcia just allegedly popped for performance enhancing. And also, he came in 3.5 pounds
Garcia
over.
Garcia did the same thing to him. When he was fighting, I think he's reported the same sort of weight gain after rehydration. Like, he was ridiculously
bigger. He was massive.
Bigger.
And also, people go, well, it's only 3.5 pounds. First of all, that's still a substantial amount. Mm. Second of all, it's not actually the weight that is the thing that sucks. It's the fact that he doesn't have to suck all the way down and go through the weight loss of trying to make weight like Haney just did. So... He's feeling fresh going in the fight, whereas Haney is feeling as fresh as possible, but he's still feeling a little bit deflated, but down, because he's had to drain all his weight to make the weight. And then obviously you find out that he's popping for stuff. So the Garcia one, look, I know he completely dominated and knocked him down all those times, but when you go through Haney's record, there are some questions about the people that he's fought in regards to where they were at in their career and, you know, the records. But I don't think Haney's done. And like, with Haney as well, I actually really like Haney. It's his dad that I can't call.
Oh,
mate.
I can't handle the, like, you're not the fighter.
Bro.
You're not even, like, at best you're the promoter. Like, shut up.
Look, it's great that his dad's there and helping him. That's great stuff.
But not when they're starving for fame.
No, exactly. Not when they're fucking talking shit and rah, rah. It's like, mate, have some respect for your son.
Yeah.
Also, have some respect for the sport.
Yeah, like, and be that boxer that he would punch the shit out of you.
Like, you've never been anywhere close to that level, and you're sitting there going, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, your son's going to do that, brother. Your son's going to do that.
But and that Haney-Garcia fight was so different to anything that we've seen Haney involved in. It was just like, oh, mate, shocking.
Yeah, that was crazy. So with this, Kambosos, look, if Kambosos can pull this off, it'll be one of the greatest nights in boxing.
It's crazy.
One of the greatest nights in boxing. It'll be like similar to Teofimo Lopez's situation.
Mm.
You know, so incredible.
And it's got a bit of Horn and Pacquiao about it.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. You know? Like, I think obviously Pacquiao's a household name, whereas like Lomachenko, not so much. I don't think people realize like the balls on Kambosos to go.
Yeah.
I'm going. He could have easily gone, you know what? Kambosos could have said, you know what? I'm going to come back to Australia. I'm going to sign with, you know, maybe No Limit or whatever, and I'm just going to fight local Aussies. I'm going to make my name huge and earn half a mil to a mil a fight for the next 4 or 5 years. He could have easily done that, and he would have bashed him. Instead, he's gone, nah, I'm going to go Lopez, Haney, Lomachenko. That's insane. You're talking about three got like Lopez was touted as like, and he's still like him at his peak. Lopez is fucking unbelievable. Haney before the Garcia was pound for pound in the world, and Lomachenko is pound for pound. Like crazy stuff.
So this puts him back on because the Kambosos Lopez kind of come out of nowhere. Mm. Like Kambosos wasn't a household name.
Well, Lopez thought he was just taking an easy.
That's
fight.
What I mean. He come over and all of a sudden it's like in the news. Holy shit! This Aussie bloke's just pulled back all the belts.
Yep.
And then the Haney saga was cool. We got excited. The double loss, and now he's back fighting Lomachenko. This is his opportunity to be back on top and sitting up there with Zou for Australian boxing again.
Can't wait. I hope he kills it. I hope he kills it.
He gets it done.
Okay, let's get some tips. Panthers versus Doggies. I'm going Panthers.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Panthers. Yep. Panthers.
Okay. Eels versus Broncos.
Broncos.
Yeah, I really like Broncos with the line in this one.
Just Reynolds is a big loss, but obviously Mitchell Moses, Gutho. I tell you, it's a danger game for the Broncos because if they lose this and you see where they end up on the ladder, you're looking around going, what the, are the Broncos second year syndrome kind of stuff, you know? So it's a huge game for the Broncos. Huge game.
Is that game in Sydney?
Yeah,
combo. Yeah, so it's going to be wet tonight. I just think that Broncos forward pack. Yeah, I think they get
hopefully,
the
hopefully. Tigers, Knights. Gone Knights.
Yeah, I'm going to back the Knights.
I'll go Knights, but I'm not sure.
Dragons, Rabbitohs. Dragons.
South. Yeah.
Oh.
South, man.
I have to.
Yeah, that's right.
You going?
I've got to go the Storm.
Oh, you know, you're going Dragons or
Rabbitohs? Oh, I'm going Dragons.
Okay.
I just can't back the Rabbitohs.
What about Sharks have come in to $1.92?
I know.
Wow.
I got them at $2. Got them at $2. I'm going Sharks. I just reckon this can be a season-defining game. If they go down and beat Melbourne.
Yeah, massive.
For the rest of the year, they know in the back of their head they can beat the top-tier sides.
And to be fair, in this moment where Sharks have been more so at their prime and Melbourne Storm, Sharks have put it on the Storm.
Hughes out as well.
Yeah.
And Sharks went down there last year and got pumped, and that was Nico's probably worst Paps game. So out. I reckon he'll.
Paps is out. I'm Sharks. Is Fa'alongo out?
He's been named.
Is he playing?
He plays fullback,
but he's. I don't think he's 100%.
Look, it's such an opportunity for Craig Fitzgibbon to just quiet any noise.
I think they go down and make a bit of a statement, Sharkies.
Okay. Yep. Roosters, Warriors.
Roosters.
What happened to the Warriors? Holy. I'm going Roosters. Titans, Cowboys. I'm going Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I have to back the Cowboys.
Alrighty, that's us done and dusted. Give us a follow on the feed. It takes 2 seconds and the best way to show Sportsbet to keep the partnership going with Bloke. It's an extremely important partnership, guys. It helps us do so many things. Make sure to, if you want a Bloke jersey, they're nearly all gone. Go to bloke.shop. We've also got slides. Magic round, meet and greet between 1 and 2 on Saturday in Caxton Park, Caxton Hotel. And on Friday night at 7 p.m. live show on Caxton Brewing Co. on Caxton Street. What are you going on, brother?
Brother, we're gearing up for our next transformation journey. It's called Climb Your Everest. So we're trying to tackle the body and mind. Crazy value, but if you've got an airlocker near you, get involved.
Get in.
We've got and you'll love this next week, we've got a very exciting nutrition collaboration. One of the best in the biz, probably the most popular in the industry. So airlocker training combined. It's going to be really cool, bro.
Okay, maybe I need to get on board. I need to lose the dad body. There's a fucking rig under here. I'm telling you, Sandor, there's a rig under here. I just need to get it out.
It sucks to be shredded too.
All right. Anyway, we'll go and fuck ourselves. Thank you.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.